Blog Talk Radio.
Well, we are at a really interesting point in our history, the history of our republic. Well, we're off to a good start tonight, aren't we, huh? Dimitri, the lovable libertarian, on blogtalkradio.com and on Facebook Live. It's an amazing moment in our history, the history of this republic, because now we have both political parties, the leaders in both political parties, the old political parties, telling us openly that we may not be able to trust our elections. This is astonishing to me. I can't believe what I'm seeing, what's happening right in front of our eyes here. And the implications of this are stunning. They're absolutely stunning. Now, up until this time, in American history, yeah, we've had accusations. You were stuffing the ballot box, and over there in Chicago, they did this and those hanging chads and all that kind of stuff. But these were all suspicions and never coming from officials in the two parties. Now, this is really important because when you lose faith in our establishments, in our institutions, then everything falls apart. And I've talked with you about this before. Regarding different aspects of where we are, where we have devolved as a republic. But now it's gotten so bad. It has gotten to the point now where I don't know where we're going to go next. Can you trust that your vote's going to be counted? Now, a few years ago, my guess is your answer would have been, Oh, yeah, sure, of course, absolutely. In the year 2016, how many people can actually say that? How many people can say, oh, yeah, my vote's going to count? Well, I don't know that it will. I've got a lot of evidence here to back up my fears. First, let me say hello to all my Facebook friends who are joining us here on Facebook Live. Carl and John and Bob and Robert and Jennifer and William and Devin and David and Kevin, all fantastic. This is wonderful. What we have now, for the first time, I believe, in the history of our republic, our soon-to-be-ending republic, if we don't fix this, is you have leaders in both of the old parties, leaders, mind you, saying openly, without any reservations, that, you know, we are not sure we could even count on these elections. Just hear me out here. The FBI discovered not too long ago, although they just released the information yesterday, that two states have had their voting systems hacked, Arizona and Illinois. And what's really scary about this, the hacking is bad enough. There's no question about this. But what's even scarier, and the media has either downplayed or pretty much ignored this, but I've actually done some homework here as I'm prepped for the show. What's really interesting here is that they're not even thinking that this is some high-tech Russian, you know, super brainiac kind of person, you know, some computer wizard or anything like that. No. The hacking for two states, Illinois and Arizona, was very low-tech. In other words, it's the kind of hacking that you could do. Or your kid could do, probably you couldn't do it, but your like 9-year-old could do it. Very low tech stuff. And I'm thinking to myself, my God, these are two sophisticated states. I mean, you know, they're intelligent people and all that, Arizona and Illinois. And yet the most important part of the state's DNA, the election process, was so easily corrupted that someone with very low skill level when it comes to hacking was able to break into those two systems. I mean, this is astonishing. Our problem isn't, you know, some Russian hackers, you know, a million miles away. It could be like your next door neighbor's kid in the basement, just, you know, screwing around. It's very low tech stuff. And so what I'm thinking is this, that, well, if these two states could have been hacked so easily with so low tech, you know, low tech methods, how many other states? How many other states are also being hacked? And how many other voting systems are being corrupted throughout our country? Now, that's bad enough. Donald Trump, on the Republican side, Donald Trump has been saying that he is concerned that the election could be rigged. Now, there are lots of different ways to look at rigged. as a libertarian, I've been sharing with you, well, the system is rigged in 101 different ways against anyone other than a Republican or a Democrat, any so-called third party or an independent candidate, because they rig the system with ballot access laws that aren't fair to other competitors, with campaign finance laws that aren't fair, and with petitioning, hundreds of different ways. But this is even worse. This is even worse because now the two dominant political parties are saying, well, we're not sure you can really trust these elections. And I'm going, oh my God, this is unbelievable. Donald Trump is saying that we need his side, needs people to, what are they called? Not witnesses, but to be observers at different polling places in swing states, Pennsylvania, Ohio, to make sure that everything is on the up and up, and that he is concerned that the election could be rigged, that could be stolen. Okay. Now, regardless of what you think of Donald Trump, you may think he's the worst human being on earth, and he's, you know, this, that, he's crazy, blah, 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 blah. But see, he's still head now, effectively, the head of the Republican Party. Harry Reid, Nevada United States Senator, had been the Senate Majority Leader until the Republicans got the majority in the Senate. But he's still like the number one guy among Democrats in the United States Senate. This guy's very, very high up the food chain. I don't like him, but fair's fair. He now is also saying quite publicly that he's concerned that the election can be rigged, could be hacked. Now, he's saying, well, it might be the Russians and it could be Donald Trump behind this because he and the Russians and blah, 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 blah. The point here is this. Both political parties, now try to understand the magnitude of this thing. Leaders in both of the dominant political parties, the two parties that control everything, they're both saying, we're not sure we can trust our own elections anymore. I mean, this is just mind-blowing to me. This is mind-blowing. You've got the head of the FBI, James Comey, saying, oh, yes, we take this very seriously, and we're going to be doing lots of studying, trying to figure out what's going on. And I'm going, oh, my God, when we lose faith in our institutions, then it's all over. Game, set, match, it's all over. And what's so bad about this, and I'm the folks on the cable news channels, because I watch cable news a lot, lately with the mute because they're all talking the same thing. Donald Trump is awful. Hillary's going to be the next president and blah, 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 blah. Did you see what terrible tweet Donald Trump did today? I mean, mindless stuff. And all the stuff with Hillary's emails, which never ends. Jesus, I'm amazed how this woman can lie. I swear to God, she does it so effortlessly. It's scary. It really is scary. It's almost as scary as that oven mitt pantsuit that she had on a couple days ago. You know, oven mitts that you put on your hands and then to reach into the oven because they're so hot. She had a pantsuit that looked like an oven mitt, which was like amazing. But I'm getting off the subject here. Let's go back to the important thing here. When you have both political parties saying that, well, this doesn't, you know, we can't be sure that your vote's going to count. We can't be sure that your system in Arizona or Illinois was hacked or maybe what was done to it and God knows how many other states. And again, we're talking low-end stuff here. We're not talking sophisticated hacking like, you know, into the NSA or Edward Snowden or anything or WikiLeaks or anything like that. We're talking really low-end stuff. I have to wonder, what do we have left to believe in? I'm serious about this. Because the whole point of a republic is that we vote for representatives to do the government thing. When we have no faith in our election process, what's the point? What's the point? You know, even in dictatorships, horrible dictatorships, whether it's the former Soviet Union or North Korea or, you know, you pick one. What's really interesting is that they, even though they're dictators, they have jobs for life and they control the military and anybody gets out of line, they just kill them, kill their families. These are horrible people. Even those people have elections. Now, they're frauds. They're just for show. But they have elections. This is important. They have elections, and they'll win with like 99.99% of the vote. Wow, talk about a landslide, huh? Now, everybody knows that it's all rigged, but the dictators, It's really amazing to me how often they do this. The dictators, not so much the monarchs, because the monarchs say, oh, well, you know, we're a monarchy, you know, we're blessed by God or family, so we don't have to have elections. But the dictators, they have elections. And because they've got to go through the motions to at least give it the fig leaf of some sort of respectability. It's amazing here in America now, for the first time, you have leaders, I mean, really high up leaders in both of the parties saying, I'm not sure we can trust our elections. I'm not really sure. They could be hacked. They could be, you know, rigged in different ways. And we need to get the FBI involved. And we already know of two states where the election systems have been hacked, Arizona and Illinois. God knows how many others. Very low tech stuff. Anybody could do it. And for all we know, maybe they have done it. And they certainly could do it in this election cycle. How would we even know? How would we even know? When we go to these electronic balloting, the computerized election voting process, I mean, we're at the mercy of hackers. Now, I don't pretend to know much about high-tech stuff. Clearly, I don't. I don't, you know, why would I? But when you have this kind of a harmonic convergence of all of these things, two states have been hacked. The FBI is involved trying to figure out it's low-tech hacking, so anybody could do it. And you have leaders of both of the old parties saying, well, we're not sure we can trust our own system. What's there left to believe in? What's there left to believe in? So no matter what happens in November, we're going to be scratching our heads, I think, going, was that even real? Was our system hacked? Did my vote even count? And when you start talking like that and you lose faith in the system, the institution, then why bother following any rules? Why bother following any laws or doing whatever? It's all going to come crashing down. You have to believe in the electoral process if this republic is going to survive. It's sort of like the dollar. The dollar, that green thing that has all those wrinkles and everything in your wallet, you take it out or your purse. Okay, now that's not really money. It's essentially saying that it's a promise that you can redeem this for something of value, gold or silver, whatever it happens to be. The point here is that you have to believe that the dollar has value, that it represents value. Because if you think it's just paper, it's just something that somebody printed, well, you may need a million of them in a wheelbarrow to go to the bakery to buy a loaf of bread like they did back in Germany right before the Nazis took over. So you've got to believe in the dollar and you've got to believe in the election process, because if you don't believe in either one of them, chaos, absolute chaos. And that's where we are right now. And please understand, I'm not someone who's always, you know, doom and gloom and, oh, the world's coming to an end and everything. None of that stuff. But what's been happening in the past few years, and especially this year, is we have come to a tipping point in the history of our republic, in our existence as a republic, where for the first time, we don't trust our institutions. Now, it's one thing to say we don't trust our Republican politicians or our Democrat politicians, and, well, we'll get rid of these guys and put those guys in and this, that, and the other, but the system is sound, you know? I mean, it's bigger than all of this stuff. Not anymore. Our institutions, whether it's the government, whether it's the election process, whether it's Wall Street, whether it's the banking system, who has any faith in any of these things anymore? I mean, think about it. The leaders of our two parties don't have faith in the election process. They're going to could be hacked. How would we know? I mean, it's like, I don't know. I mean, this is a really scary thing. We are at that point right now. And when you watch all the cable news shows, when you listen to all the, you know, talking heads doing whatever, they're missing it. Oh, they're talking about, well, you know, the hacking here in Arizona, or the hacking in Illinois, and, you know, this is, you know, could Donald Trump be behind all of this stuff, or could it be the Russians, or could it be this, or, you know, oh, that Julian Assange and WikiLeaks, bad, 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 bad man, you know, that kind of stuff. I'm looking at the much bigger picture here, much, much bigger picture, when both parties are saying, we're not sure we can trust our own elections. It's over. And I don't know what's going to replace it. Because when you lose faith, whether in the dollar or in the election process, why bother obeying any laws? It's all a lie. It's all a sham. It's all it is. And now we're seeing it? It's sort of like when they pulled back the curtain at the end of The Wizard of Oz. Oh, spoiler alert. Ah, sorry, sorry. Spoiler alert. Give you 5 seconds if you want to tune out. Mississippi 1, Mississippi 2, Mississippi 3, Mississippi 4, Mississippi 5. Okay, Wizard of Oz, at the end, they pull back the curtain. The Wizard of Oz is not actually the Wizard of Oz. It's just some guy with lots of levers and you know, some really cool special effects, but they were just special effects. It was just a guy. And when they realize that, Dorothy, she's the one with the red slippers, and you got the Scarecrow, you got the Tin Man, you got the Lion, you got the little dog, Toto or whatever. When they all realized that, they no longer were afraid of the Wizard of Oz, the great and wonderful, exalted, whatever, Wizard of Oz. I mean, it was a joke. It was all over. Game, set, and match, they pulled back the curtain. Oh, it's just some guy operating levers. That's all it is. Just some guy. That's where we are in our republic, and a lot of people don't realize this yet. But I'm sharing this with you because I understand the magnitude of this thing. Think about this. Both of the old parties, and again, full disclosure, I'm a libertarian. I vote only for libertarian candidates. I'm a life member of the Libertarian Party, and I know how every third party and independent is screwed over royally, how the system is rigged to prevent people from challenging the two old parties. But think about this. The leaders of both of these old parties have admitted that their system, the system that they've been running for forever, is so corrupt, is so weak, is so awful, even they aren't sure they can believe in it anymore. Now, it's one thing if a libertarian or a Green Party or independents go on, you know, I'm not sure I really believe in the system anymore. It's quite another. And the magnitude, I can't overstate the magnitude of this. When you have the two parties that have been running the system, that had designed the system, that oversee the system, when you have both of these parties saying, well, I'm not sure we can really count on this anymore, well, then what can you count on? And I want to say to both of them, wait a minute. You're the ones who've been in charge of this thing. And now even you are saying we can't have any faith in it. We don't know. Arizona, Illinois, how many others? What level of sophistication does it take to hack into our election system in these states? Apparently very little from all the reports that I've read. I've got all the stories here. I mean, lots and lots of stories here. And you have experts saying that there's really nothing much to it. Let me read some of this stuff to you. By the way, I'm here in the lifepedigree.com studio. Well, let me tell you about lifepedigree.com. I'm here at the intersection of freedom and fun. Lifepedigree.com is great if you own a business and you have people sending you resumes, whether, you know, in snail mail or by email or whatever it happens to be, because when you get these resumes, you've got to read through them, try to figure out who's telling the truth and who isn't. And it's just so hard and your eyes glaze over. And then who do you call to check on their military records? Who do you check to call on to make sure they weren't in prison? Who do you call on to see if they were really working for this company and now this company has become that company? And then who do you call at that company to see if that person is telling the truth? And on and on and on. Who would have time for this, even if you knew how to do it? Well, just send the resumes to lifepedigree.com and lifepedigree.com for a very small price, very small because the economies of scale. They do this for a living. They'll check everything out and then they'll put the seal of approval on the resumes, the ones that check out. And they'll send them all back to you saying, hey, here are the ones that actually check out. Why don't you hire somebody from one of these resumes? And that way you increase your chances of getting a good employee, somebody who's not lying. So here's what I want you to do. Email lifepedigree.com with any resumes that your company gets. Here's the address, sales@lifepedigree.com, sales@lifepedigree.com. In the subject line, put in my name, Dimitri. That's with three I's, D-I-M-I-T-R-I. The reason for that is that they will know that you're coming from the Dmitry ecosystem, which is blogtalkradio.com, Facebook Live, Twitter. They've checked out all my friends and followers and listeners and everything. They know that I have only legit followers. I don't have those spammy hoax accounts, nothing like that. So please do that. And for a very small price, they'll get you the right information about who's telling you the truth. sales@lifepedigree.com. I know these people. These are good people. It's a wonderful idea. Please do so. All right. So now we have that. By the way, we do this Monday through Friday, 9 p.m. Eastern time, weeknights on blogtalkradio.com and on Facebook Live. And if you – I've got a great interview for you this evening. If you were wondering about getting into the marijuana business – the weed business, the THC. I think it's called THC. Is that what it's called? The marijuana something. Anyway, I think, hold on. I actually had that here. Hold on a second. Let me see. What did I do with this thing now? Where's T? Is it THC? Yes, THC. All right. I've got a great guest for you tonight. Great interview. You don't know the guy's name. You won't recognize it. He's a lawyer, and he's based in Cleveland. And he worked for this law firm, also in Cleveland. I forgot to ask, east side or west side? I'm guessing east side. They're smarter there, usually. Anyway, the THC legal group. Legal group? I think it's called that. Anyway, THC, that's the important thing. Law or legal. In fact, I might as well tell you the name. Hold on a second here. Boy, how professional do I sound tonight? Hmm? All right. It's the THC legal group. I got it right. Sort of. If you want to get into the weed business, you're going to need a lawyer. And here's the crazy part with marijuana. Some states have legalized different versions of it. Medical marijuana, two states, Colorado and Washington, I think. You can actually have, you know, you don't get arrested if you use, I forget what the laws are, but it's pretty lax there. And each state is different. But the federal government, under Barack Obama, you know, the guy who smoked all that weed and all that, the federal government is saying, oh, no. This is still, you know, the most horrible drug in the world, marijuana, and we're not going to change any of our rules, but we're not going to enforce them either. Now, the next administration, whoever that is, what's going to happen, God only knows. So you got this weird thing. You got this, some states saying, yeah. I mean, legalizing weed sort of kind of is okay. You got other states saying no. You got the federal government saying no, but we're not going to enforce it. So pretty soon people start losing their minds over this. You need a lawyer. This firm specializes, that's really quite amazing. This firm specializes in the marijuana business. And let me tell you, this is quite a business. You've got all sorts of things, copyright laws. You've got, yeah, and different types of strains of marijuana that you can grow and different inventions so that you can grow marijuana a certain way, and if you can patent this invention, then maybe you can corner the market. It's amazing stuff. It's absolutely amazing stuff. It's amazing to me because I don't do drugs. I don't drink alcohol. I don't do drugs. I'm just not into that stuff. I'm crazy enough as it is, you know, without any additional stuff. You know, I don't need anything else up here. All the snakes fighting each other, it's bad enough. I don't need alcohol. I don't need drugs. But to me, as an outsider, it's still fascinating. So you've got this thing here, this new business, marijuana, that's flourishing, lots of different states. But there are a lot of legal issues. And so I interviewed this guy, this lawyer, Abe Cohn, with the THC legal group, and asked him all sorts of questions about the nuts and bolts of the marijuana business and why you would need a lawyer. And we're not talking about a lawyer to bail you out of jail. No. We're talking about the business end of it. It's really quite fascinating. I've not heard anybody else do interviews like this. So I've got, a really good one for you. And it's something that I don't think you can hear anywhere else. So make sure that you stick with me after we end this monologue here and listen on Blog Talk Radio, the part of the simulstream here, for this interview. THC Legal Group in Cleveland. And any question that you might have regarding the marijuana business, if you're thinking of getting into it, it's like, I wonder what I need to do. Well, call this law firm. They'll tell you. It's amazing stuff. All right, back to this. In fact, let's see what our Facebook friends are saying here. Okay, Joan and Karen, Bob, Robert, just going down the list.
Devin, they've gotten to the point that they don't care about what we think of them anymore. They're smarter than us. That's true, Devin. As I pointed out before as well, a lot of our a lot of the insiders have actually stopped pretending that the system isn't rigged, that they aren't really in charge of everything. They're pretty much saying, okay, with social media and all that, you're onto us, you know, you caught us. What are you going to do about it? That's true. But this is even more important than that, because if we lose faith in the election system, everything comes crashing down. Why would you obey any law? Why would I obey any law? We all know, we assume, we fear, we suspect that our vote didn't even count because it was easily hacked or because they changed the way the votes are counted. You know, a few years ago, there were people who raising serious concerns about electronic voting, saying that there's no type of a paper trail to check that the machines haven't been hacked and rigged in certain ways. And at that point, I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to them because, again, I'm not a technical guy. And, you know, you get an awful lot of people hounding you saying, oh, you know, there could be conspiracy here, conspiracy there, and this, that, and the other. And, yeah, sometimes they're right, but you never know which ones are right. And if you don't have enough expertise, then, you know, it's kind of tough to – you don't know what to believe. But now, take a look at something as simple as the DNC, the Democratic National Committee. I mean, they were hacked. All their emails were hacked. The FBI is saying that Hillary – it is probable, very likely, that the emails that she and the others had on their private server, and Hillary Clinton's private server, could very well have been hacked. And again, you don't even know. It's just – you just don't know. And now with all these states, and in fact, let me get one of these here. The Daily Beast had a good story here. Just bear with me here. Okay, here's the guy. His name is David Hyman, and he's a former assistant secretary at the Homeland Security Department. He told the Daily Beast that I think it's fair to say that there are more states out there that have been hacked and don't know it, or that are being hacked and are trying to deal with it quietly. Again, this is not me. I'm not a fearmonger or anything like that. This is a former assistant secretary for the Homeland Security Department saying this. And he's saying this very matter-of-factly to the Daily Beast. It's like there are states, maybe Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Ohio, you know, whatever, that don't even know they're being hacked. I mean, think about it. The DNC did not know for a year that it was hacked and all their emails were gone. A year they didn't know this. And they're one of the two old parties that are running the show here. I mean, this is really bad stuff here. The headline for the Daily Beast story. Stealing voter, again, the Daily Beast, for those who don't know, this is not some right-wing crazy, you know, thing like that. I think they're legit. I don't think they have any particular strong political thing. It's just an interesting story. I think they're right. Stealing voter files was shockingly easy for these hackers. And again, the guy that I mentioned a few seconds ago, the former DHS official, he said, I think it's fair to say that there are more states out there that have been hacked and don't know it. It's really amazing. Let's see here. The FBI analysis of the hacks contained in a security alert shows that Arizona elections website was penetrated in June and using common vulnerability that's well known to security experts. Then in July, Illinois voter files were accessed apparently using stolen login credentials, which could have been obtained by spear phishing a state employee. That's all they were talking about here. This is low-tech stuff. This is really low-tech stuff. How many other states are dealing with this right now and not sharing this information, not going public with it, a few weeks before the general election, the most important election in our probably in our lifetimes? And how many other states don't even know they're being hacked? I mean, it's like, what do we believe in anymore? What is there left to believe in? I don't know. I have no answer for you. I absolutely do not. Let's see here. I got some other ones. Trump is saying, of course, that, you know, could be hacked or could be rigged.
He wants people on the lookout for any funny business on election day. The problem with that is that even if you have observers at the different polling places, how are you going to observe computer hacking? How do you do this? I don't know. I have no earthly idea. You know, we've got all these high-tech computer wizards, you know, in Washington, you know, the NSA and all these others. And yet you would think that our government, again, run by these two old parties, would have enough sense to create election systems that would not be hacked, that could not be compromised. Or if they were compromised, at least it would have to be like super sophisticated stuff. And, you know, we would at least know what was going on. Not even that. This is low-end stuff. Here's another one. Let's say, is Russia rigging the 26th election for Trump? This is also very interesting. Let's see, Nevada Majority Leader Harry Reid is saying, asking the FBI Director James Comey to investigate whether Russia is tampering with the U.S. election. Again, this is like one of the top people in the Democratic Party. And he's saying this openly. He wants us to know that the election, this whole system, is suspect. It's not, you know, it's one thing to do it privately, but he's doing this publicly. Donald Trump is also doing this publicly. They're both, I mean, the enormity of this thing is difficult for me to overstate. When they're both going public with this, and you have all these reports about states don't even know if they're being hacked. Come election day, what the hell are we doing? What the hell are we doing? If Hillary Clinton wins, let's say, well, how do we know she won? Was the fix in? Did hackers want her to win? Or what if Donald Trump wins? Well, did hackers maybe want him to win? And so whoever is in the White House, whoever is speaking to us at the State of the Union address, why would we believe him? It doesn't matter whether it's Hillary or Trump. Why would we believe him? Can you be sure that your vote's going to count? I can't. I mean, I honest to God, I can't. How on earth would I know? There's more here. Harry Reid added that such an effort to undermine our free and fair elections represents one of the gravest threats to our democracy since the Cold War. Right. Reid called on the FBI to use every resource available to investigate this matter. Let's see. The wave of suspected intervention began in late June. WikiLeaks later began releasing DNC documents. There's one thing here that was really interesting I wanted to share with you. Where did I put this? Alert. Okay, I covered this. All right. Well, I may not have it here with me, but what's so horrible about this is that with the two old parties, the leaders of these two old parties and the FBI, all pretty much saying the same thing. And now we've got at least two states that have been hacked with their election process, and God knows how many others. Vladimir Putin in Russia doesn't even have. Worst case scenario, let's say that it's Russian hackers. But by the way, Russian hackers typically seem to be pretty sophisticated. All these reports saying really low-end hacking stuff. I mean, the states, it's unbelievable how inept they have been. And yet this is like the most important thing in our republic. If we can't have faith in elections, if we don't know if our vote even counts, what else matters? I mean, it's all over. It's over. I don't know what's going to replace it, but this is over. Nice knowing you, Republic. Nice knowing you. But so let's say worst case scenario that Vladimir Putin and the Russian hackers want to disrupt the election process. They want to undermine America. Just by having the two old parties, leaders of the two old parties, Donald Trump and Harry Reid, raising these issues publicly. And now you've got the FBI publicly saying, you know, got all these problems. Vladimir Putin or the Chinese, hackers or whoever, or North Korean for that matter, they don't have to do anything. They just have to sit back and just like kind of laugh. Because when you lose faith in the system, if you don't know what to believe, then it doesn't matter whether it was hacked or not. Because you don't know what to believe. You know, I'm voting. Did it count? Maybe it did. Maybe it didn't. So even if Vladimir Putin and some other bad guys throughout the world wanted to undermine our election process, undermine our faith in the election process, they don't have to do anything. That was already done for them by the two parties here publicly, because we don't know what to believe. We don't know what states are being hacked. Do the states even know if they're being hacked? And what's the answer to all of this? I don't know. Well, maybe I do. I would think, and again, I'm not a high-tech guy, but maybe you are. Maybe you understand, you know, the world of high-tech stuff. It would seem to me that there would be a system that we could have that would be hack-proof. And I think there is. I think it's called paper. I don't think anybody can hack paper. I'm thinking that maybe the best system to preserve what's left of the integrity of the election process is to have paper ballots, but to have a system of paper ballots that is as close to foolproof as humans can make it. Now, there's always a chance someone's going to figure out something, but it's going to be unlikely. So if we go back to paper ballots and that are counted by hand, by humans, and have like several sets of humans checking and double checking and triple checking, quadruple checking, and all that kind of stuff, the way that I assume they do in the casinos and the back rooms in Las Vegas, where they have all these different people keeping an eye on everybody. Oh, like that movie Casino, where Robert De Niro's character is saying, okay, you got that guy over there keeping an eye on this guy over here and this guy over here keeping an eye on that guy and that guy and they're up in the sky and we're all keeping an eye on people who are counting, you know, all that kind of stuff. That degree, those layers of security, not high tech at all, but if you have enough layers of humans who don't know each other, who keep an eye on each other, if we can create a system like that, paper, then we eliminate the issues of hacking. We eliminate the issues of somebody screwing around with electronic voting machines. If there are disputes, we have a paper trail. We have, paper. And I think that would work. Again, I know it sounds crazy, but just looking at the model of that film, Casino, where everybody was keeping an eye on everybody else. It might be as simple as that. I know it's low tech. God, is it low tech? But maybe that would work. I don't have any other answers. Maybe you do. Let's read what some of our other Facebook friends are saying here. Chaos is what they want. No, I don't think they want chaos. Chaos is not to their benefit. The two old parties, and really the elites, the one thing that the elites have to have in order to stay in power is that we have to still believe in the institutions. When we stop believing in the institutions, that's when the elites are in trouble. I don't think they understand that, because now with the elections, the systems being hacked and rigged and all that, if we don't have any faith, I mean, honest to God, as I sit here talking to you on blogtalkradio.com and on Facebook Live, which I do every weeknight, 9 p.m. Eastern time, when I go to vote, and I will vote for the Libertarian Party candidates, and Gary Johnson and William Weld, even though, you know, they're not ideal libertarians, but they're the best we've got, no question. When I vote, I have no idea if my vote's going to count. I don't know if some hacker is going to go, oh, libertarians, now I want Donald Trump to win, or I want Hillary Clinton to win, or I just want to screw around because, oh, I don't know, it's Tuesday, you know, and then do whatever hackers do. As I sit here talking with you, And I'm not saying this to be overly dramatic or anything like that. As I sit here talking to you, I, honest to God, don't know if my vote's going to count. For all I know, this state could be being hacked, or maybe was hacked, and, you know, remote controlled by, you know, hackers, whatever. And they may have already put in software or done certain things so that my vote is meaningless. I don't know. I don't know what to believe anymore. And when that happens, I'm telling you, it's game, set, and match. It's over. It's over. The thing that was so striking to me and continues to be so striking, it's one thing for the two old parties to say this privately, to go, hey, you know, we got some issues here. We got to get these things worked out. But when they both go public, it's almost as if they want the system, although I don't think they understand. If I had to guess, I don't think they understand the magnitude of their actions, because what they're essentially saying is we can't believe in anything. And when that happens, well, if we can't believe in anything, we can't believe in you now, can we? I don't think they got that yet. We'll see. Let's see. Robert, ourselves, that's why I don't vote. I am my leader. Okay. Devin, they got to the point. They don't care. Okay. John, $20 trillion in debt, stuff hitting the fan, chaos, pick up the pieces. Yeah, but what's going to replace the republic? That's the question. What's going to replace this republic? We've lost a lot of respect, probably all of our faith in Wall Street. Nobody, you know, when that collapsed in 2008, who went to prison? Who went to prison? They just wrote big checks to the government to keep them out of prison. John Corzine or Jamie Dimon and, you know, 50 other guys. Meanwhile, in Iceland, they actually put some of their banksters in prison. Way to go, Iceland. Nobody goes to prison here. You know, there are two sets of rules. The whole Hillary thing with the emails and all that. When the head of the FBI says, well, yeah, she broke all the laws. We're not going to recommend any kind of charges. But if you do it, that's different. I mean, we're at that point. And now with the two old parties saying, well, you know, you really, even we can't be sure we can trust the election process, even though we created it, we oversaw it, and it's to our benefit, even we aren't sure. What a damning indictment that is of both Republicans and Democrats. What a damning indictment that is. It's like, hey, you people set this thing up. You oversaw this. And now you're admitting even that can be corrupted. Why do we need Republicans and Democrats? Why do we need these two old, disgusting parties anymore? We don't. Let's see. Brandon, voting is for retards. Oh, I don't know. The Republic is the problem. Let it crumble and replace with what? See, the one thing with nation building, as George W. Bush found out, and others as well. I mean, both parties have been trying to do this for years. They look at World War II, the end of World War II, Germany complete surrender. Japan, complete surrender, Italy, you know, whatever. And they go, well, we had nation building there, and look how well that turned out, so I guess we can do nation building everywhere else. Well, we haven't done nation building anywhere else successfully since World War II. We've had failures. Oh, my God, have we had failures. See, and the one thing with nation building is like with when Hillary Clinton was the Secretary of State, her thing was to get rid of Gaddafi, the head of Libya, who was a bad guy. There's no question. But when you get rid of Gaddafi, or with George W. Bush getting rid of Saddam Hussein, again, both parties do this stuff all the time. When you get rid of bad guys, or when the Republic collapses here, the one thing that you can't control, oh, you could try, but you can't control it, is what's going to replace it? What replaces it? What makes you think that the replacement is going to be better? For all we know, it could be 10 times worse. Libya, as bad as Gaddafi was, now it's chaos, and essentially there are different ISIS groups that are pretty much running the show there. Iraq, and so many other places. Oh, Egypt. Egypt had, this is so pathetic, Egypt had one election in 7,000 years, one election, and they screwed it up. They ended up getting the Muslim Brotherhood guy in there, and then the army was going crazy, and then they overthrew him and all this. One election, and they screwed up in 7,000 years, and they screw it up. You never know what's going to replace them. You have no idea what's going to replace them. So I am actually quite concerned. It's like, oh, my God. But I understand the big picture here, and most folks, at least that I watch TV and all that, when they're pundits, they're talking like little – well, there's Arizona and, you know, Illinois, and maybe we can do this. And meanwhile, I'm going, don't you understand what has happened? Both parties are confessing that they can't trust the whole system that they created to get them elected, to keep them in office. They've undermined their authority. it's just amazing. I mean, ask your friends and neighbors. I'm curious. I don't know what the answer is. But ask your friends and neighbors if you want. When you go to vote on election day, do you think your vote's going to count? Do you think that it will actually not be corrupted, that it will count as your one vote for whoever? I can't say that. I hope it will, but I can't say that. Why would I have any faith in the election process when the head of the Republican Party and one of the heads of the Democratic Party are both saying, I'm not sure we can, I'm not sure the system works. This is bad stuff. We're at a tipping point, and I don't know what's going to happen next. I really don't, but we are at a tipping point, and it's kind of scary stuff. Jerry is joining us. Brandon, democracy is violence. Well, government can be violence. R. Hamilton Gray, thanks for joining us. There is much to worry about when it comes to the security of our elections, right? But when anyone wants to do something, they're called paranoid. Well, there's a lot of truth to that, R. Hamilton Gray. There's no question. But there's less paranoia now about that. A few years ago, you could have said, oh, those people in the tinfoil hats, they just think everything is rigged. And well, it turns out a lot of stuff is rigged, and now we're seeing it. And it's like, oh, my God, even just a few months ago, Bernie Sanders and his people were saying it was rigged. The Democratic primaries were rigged. When we get the WikiLeaks emails, turns out they were right. They weren't just tinfoil hats. They were right. Of course it was rigged. By the way, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who finally had to resign, even though she was helping to rig the process for Hillary Clinton, she gets rewarded by being the honorary co-chair of the Hillary Clinton campaign. You talk about Hillary Clinton rubbing her noses in it. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Jennifer, what he said, it's dangling chads all over again. It's worse than dangling chads, because at least dangling chads gave us the illusion that it wasn't rigged, where you could have honest disagreements. But hacking, there's no disagreement about hacking. The FBI says, oh, yeah, they were hacked, and it was low-end hacking, too. That's how bad it is. How many other states have the same problem? I'll bet you most of them do. I'll bet you most of them, if they are hacked, and why wouldn't they be? For example, let me think about this. Let's say you're in your mom's basement, and you've got your computer, your PC, and you know how to hack. Well, you read that low-end hackers were able to get into the voting systems of two states, Arizona and Illinois, and you're going, well, that was pretty easy. Wonder if I could do that. Not those two, but let's see, we've got 48 other states. Plus you got Puerto Rico, you got Guam, you got the Virgin Islands, whatever other territories are out there. I might have some fun. Let me just drink my Mountain Dew here, and or my Red Bull. Red Bull, because it gives you wings. And let's see what I can do. I wouldn't be surprised, now that this story has come out, if hackers, either for fun or not for fun, are going to go, well, let's see if I can break into Pennsylvania, Ohio, West Virginia, North Carolina, Florida, some other swing states. Hey, I could help determine the next election. Because swing states, the vote's going to be pretty close. And if I just fiddled around with a few counties and a few votes here and there, I could tip the election to this person or that person, and that one state could make the difference in who gets 270 electoral college votes. I, low-end hacker in mom's basement drinking Red Bull, because it gives me wings, I could pick president of the United States, and they wouldn't even know. Now, I'll bet you people are thinking like that, because if I'm thinking like that, why wouldn't they have some fun, have some power? Doesn't take much. We just learned that from these states. I mean, it is potentially, I think, that bad. Geraldine joining us. Brandon, why not give up on statism and embrace self-ownership? I think that is a wonderful concept. I'd like to see the specifics on that. I think voting, if you're a libertarian, you want government to be the right size. You actually believe in the Constitution, at least most libertarians do. Dr. Ron Paul certainly does, and I think that's a pretty good start. If we could just reduce the size of government to its bare minimum, it's a good start. And then we can have discussions about where to go from there. But to get even to that point, to reduce government to its right size, to get it reduced so that it actually fits in the Constitution, thank you, Harry Brown, that's going to be a major challenge. But if we ever get to that point, then the next step could be, what can we do for to have more of a volunteerism type society or whatever? Good steps, good questions. F elections, start acting like you own yourself. Well, the only problem with ignoring elections is that elections don't ignore you. See, that's the problem. And if you don't get involved to stop the bad guys, they will use democracy. They will use voting to screw you over, and then you're doomed. So no, the idea of, well, we don't vote, you got to vote the right way, in my opinion, is only for libertarians, because we're the only ones who actually want to reduce government down to its right size. So we disagree there, but thank you. Kevin, Democrats are just saying that, just to respond to Trump saying this, in case he wins for a recount, rigging, whatever the reasons, it don't matter. You may very well be right, but it doesn't matter. The moment that the two old parties publicly say that we're not sure we can count on this system, it's over. We lose faith in it. Doesn't matter what the motives are. Brandon, okay, Barbara, Nicholas, statism is chaos, you emasculated dupe. Is Brandon referring to me as an emasculated dupe? I am not emasculated. Okay, my wife does have my man card, but she lets me have it every so often. I have to ask nicely. I've got to do the dishes, but I get my man card, so I'm not sure that I'm emasculated. So you might be wrong there. Geraldine, I believe it's the beginning of maybe one person winning, but then comes into play, oh, it has been hacked theory, yes, just like the Chads, winning candidate will not win in the office. Well, again, no matter who wins in November, now both parties have said we're not sure we can count on the system. Well, you've just undermined your authority. Do you understand what both parties have now done? They've undermined whatever moral authority they had by saying that the election process has been hacked. It could be compromised. We don't even know. They've actually done this to themselves. We're at a tipping point. I think sooner or later others will begin to realize this, but I see it now. So I'm sharing this with you now. You're scared to not be ruled by crooked politicians. I don't want to be ruled by anyone. All systems eventually die. This happening to ours, why it's not scary. All endings are also beginnings. Maybe something new that humanity needs is being born. If this system dies, I have no idea what's going to replace it. It could be a million times worse. Could be better, but it could be a million times worse. I don't know. Brandon, let's see. You're not a libertarian. Actually, I am. Let it crumble. Okay. Count on yourself. Well, I do count on myself. The problem is that government has set up so many rules that I can't do much of anything without getting permission, even having my own property, even though I bought my property. My wife and I bought the property. We still need to get government's permission to do 101 different things here to the house or to the yard or whatever. I mean, I have more property rights if I bought Barbie's dream house. If I bought that, I think it's called Barbie's dream house, I could do whatever I want with Barbie's dream house. But I can't do that with my real house, even though I bought that too, because there's so many rules and regulations. And THC, Jennifer, right, THC, right. Okay, got a guy. Okay, Janet, Anthony, maybe we need to go back to pencil and paper. Well, yeah, certainly paper. I think that's the way to go. But have layers of people overseeing everything, like in casino. And Robert De Niro is saying, okay, that guy's keeping an eye on that guy, and that guy's keeping an eye on this guy, and this guy's keeping an eye on that guy, and that guy's keeping an eye on this guy. And this, I think that would work. Wouldn't be hacked. It'd be virtually impossible to try to bribe people because there's so many different layers. might be the way to go, because you need to establish faith in the election process. Because if you don't have that, you don't have the democracy. You don't have a republic. You've got nothing. And it's just ready to collapse. Because, again, tonight, as I'm talking to you, I don't know that my vote's even going to be counted. How would I know? I don't have any faith anymore. Don't take my word for it. Take the word of Donald Trump and Senator Harry Reid. Ken's joining us. Dan, Kevin, screw Russia and China. We are the United States of America. Well, yeah, and it could very well be that these low-end hackers weren't from Russia or China. They could be next door in the house next door. This was low-end stuff. Could have been done by anybody. And my guess is, now that the word is out, a lot of other people are going to be doing this. Low-end hackers going, for fun or not for fun. Let's see if we can break into the election process of every state. How many states can we break into? And all it takes is one to figure out a way to shift a few votes in one swing state. That one hacker, try to wrap your ears around this. That one hacker, in theory, low-end hacker, could, by shifting around a few votes in one swing state, pick the next president of the United States. Our system is that tenuous. It is that vulnerable. One kid playing around, hacking into North Carolina or Florida. Move a few votes in a few counties. It's a real close race with Hillary and Donald Trump, and a few votes here, a few votes there. And hey, I can pick the next president of the United States because it's all coming down to Florida or to North Carolina or to Ohio or one swing state. That's all it takes, in theory. I don't think it's that implausible, frankly. Keith, it's primary election day in Arizona. We use a felt tip pen to connect the pointer and tail of an arrow next to the candidate name on a large sheet of cardstock. Okay, that's great, but the system there in Arizona was hacked. And Illinois was hacked. So there are other elements of the voting. I'm not sophisticated. I don't know what they are, but they were hacked. And so God only knows. Maybe you're doing the balloting. Maybe the hackers eliminated voters from the voting rolls. They could have done 101 different things. Who the hell knows? So you actually want McCain? No, I don't want McCain. I wonder if Britain would take us back. Well, considering, Geraldine, considering how Britain is these days, I'm not sure I'd want to go back there. Although that Nigel guy is kind of interesting. And also that Boris guy, who was the mayor of London, who's got that wild hair like Donald Trump. He's actually a funny guy. But I don't want to go back to England. I want to go back to the way it was when our founding fathers were here. I want all the modern conveniences, floss and internet. But the idea that the founding fathers had, I'd like to go back to that. Not to go back to England, but go back to that. Sounds like a cover for election fraud. Whenever it might be discovered, blame it on hackers. And that's the other thing. In fact, Dan's bringing up a very good point. He's saying that, it could be just a cover story. Both of the parties now. Again, the key here is they both have gone public that, the system can't be trusted. And so what Dan is bringing up a great point. It could be just cover for election fraud. Okay. But again, both parties are essentially saying that the system can't be trusted for whatever the reason. If it's cover story or whatever, but the bottom line is they're both saying, we can't trust the system. It's crazy. Modern life, floss, and internet, exactly. What more do you need? Kathy is saying simple, one's own intelligence. I'm not quite sure what that means. Kathy doesn't think I have much in the way of intelligence because I've read some of her posts or comments toward me. Oh, man. Tough stuff. But whatever. Anyway, let's see. Anybody else joining us on Facebook Live? No. How are we doing on time? Just bear with me here. I've got to make sure my timing is right for this interview. Okay. We still have a few minutes left. McCain is seeking a sixth term as Senate, and Sheriff Joe seeking a seventh term. By the way, have we heard yet if Debbie Wasserman Schultz won her Democratic primary in Florida. I'm doing the show here, so I don't know. I am not keeping tabs on that. She should win. Hillary won that congressional district. Kevin is not checking in. That's great. So Debbie Wasserman Schultz should win comfortably. If she doesn't, it would be a huge upset, but I haven't heard. I don't know. And is McCain going to win? Probably, because, you know, the rhinos, they got so much money. God, they have so much money. They do whatever they can to destroy their primary opponents, Tea Party type opponents, Donald Trump type opponents. So my guess is McCain's going to win. My guess is Debbie Wasserman Schultz is going to win as well. But we'll see. Yeah. And if not, well, won't these be great stories? All right. So that's it for this part of it. But I promised I would tell you something that I forgot to tell you yesterday. I told the beginning of yesterday's show here on One Dimitri Radio about this snowman that my wife bought. And I came home Saturday. Was it Saturday? I guess it was Saturday. Anyway, I was exhausted. I laid on the couch and I heard this weird noise. And it was Friday night. That was it. Friday night. I came home from PCNC. That was it. And laid on the couch and I was going, what is that weird noise? And she had a surprise. Turns out it was a snowman. That she plugged in and the snowman's arms moved. And I was listening. I was actually hearing that noise. Didn't know what it was. And I looked at it because my wife's like a little crazy, especially when it comes to snowmen and frogs. Mostly those two things, snowmen and frogs. And it's just, you got your, anyway. Saturday morning when she went out to buy stamps at the post office. Yes, some people actually still buy stamps. I did a Facebook Live special edition from my kitchen where the snowman was plugged in. And I showed you the snowman and I reached for a knife because I wanted to kill it the night before, but I was afraid my wife would jump me, so I decided not to do it. That video, a Facebook Live video, the last time I checked, and you can check, it's on my timeline. The last time, unless those stupid algorithms eliminate it, because Facebook. The last time I checked on my timeline, that video had more than 700 views. The stupid snowman with the moving arms that you plug into the wall and the arms start moving and all that. More than 700, in fact, 750, at least 700, or more than 700. It was like unbelievable. Now, on a good night with a Blog Talk Radio and Facebook Live, for the Facebook Live part of it, if we get, 300, 400, views, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. But this had like 700, and it was just this stupid snowman thing. I don't know what it is, but when I do like these stupid Facebook Live, stupid videos, I call them, whether it's the hummingbirds in the back, or the some stupid thing that I've done here in the house, or my wife has done something crazy. I mean, dumb, stupid stuff. Those videos have a lot more views than my show, even though I spend hours trying to, come up with a really good show and, do lots of prep and all this kind of stuff. And yet those stupid videos have like hundreds of views. And I don't understand any of this. In any event, that's what happened. And, people just think it's hilarious, just hilarious. You have no idea how difficult it is being me. Yeah, I don't like to complain, as you know. But it's just, you have no idea how hard it is being me on a daily basis. Anyway, all right, great interview coming up for you. It is the THC Legal Group in Cleveland. And if you want to get into the weed business, you need to talk with these people because they know all about the ins and outs, the legal ins and outs of marijuana. These are not the kind of people, lawyers, that where you go to bail you out of prison. No, nothing like that. This is the business end, the weed business. I had no idea it was so complicated. I mean, it's really quite amazing. It was one of my better interviews. So I want you to listen to that. That's on blogtalkradio.com, our simul stream here. We're going to end this tonight, and if we could do our ending, our typical ending, which is as many emojis as possible here to have our fireworks grand finale of emojis And we're going to end it tonight. So start doing with all the emojis here, and they'll be running across the bottom of the screen. And that's like kind of our tradition here, our way of ending it. So let me get to the interview now. Again, you can follow me on Facebook and on Twitter. And we do this every weeknight. Here we go. 9 p.m. Eastern Time on blogtalkradio.com and on Facebook Live.